Thank God. He is so good. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2. I believe we're getting close to being done with this series that we've been on, that we've called Built Together. Built Together. And we're talking about we as individuals and as the body of Christ, that God is building something on this earth. He is doing something through His body. He has a place for each one of us, a specific place for each person. There's not two, three, four, five places. He has a place. And He has a place for us to get joined in and to hook together with other believers. He has a place in a local body that we can get involved in, and that is how we are going to really fulfill what He wants for us, is when we're hooked up, and that's His will for all believers, and we've gone over that. He wants us to be joined with other believers. This thing, it seems it's getting pretty common, people off just kind of off on their own. Well, I don't need a church. Well, I just watch TV. That's not a church. That's not a pastor. And we've gone over that. We're not going to cover some of that, but those messages are online. We need to be with the body of believers, and that's the way we're going to fulfill what He has called us to do. That's how we're going to grow and develop, and God's smarter than us, and that's what He said. We're going to follow Him. Just a couple scriptures that we've gone over now many times. We're just going to get into this. Verse 19, Ephesians 2, verse 19. It's also on your sheet. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're being built up for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. On your sheet there, we've read this several times too, in the Williams translation, that verse 22 says, "And you yourselves, in union with Him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit." Notice that we're in union with Him. He didn't stop there. He didn't say, we're in union with Him and that's fine. Wherever you are, you just be in union with Him and you're good to go. No, He said, in fellowship with one another. We need other people. We do. We need other people. We need to be in that fellowship. Are being built up. See, this is how we're going to be built up, is when we're in fellowship with Him, in union with Him, in fellowship with one another, are being built into a dwelling for God through the Spirit. So we are being built up. Each one of our lives are being built up. He's forming us. He's helping us. He's molding us. I'm just so in awe of Him. Just the further I go, the more I realize how small we are. You know, some of the things we get in our life, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, is shaken. And the more you go, you realize you're one person at one point in time in this world. There are many other people, and there were many other points of time. And you're not seeing anything new. I'm not seeing anything new. But He's seen it all. He's seen the greatest, quote-unquote, of the men come and go on this earth. The ones men would say, that was somebody great. Look what they accomplished. God was there and He saw them. The real question is, did they do what He wanted them to do? Did they have a relationship with Him? All the other stuff is meaningless now. They're gone. If they've passed on, they're in the grave. They're dust. They've decayed. But God was there. He's seen them come and go. And He's seen others come and go. And now we're here and we have a choice. What are we going to do? When we're walking with Him, what do we hold dear? Yeah, but I got to do this big thing. Well, we can get into where we think it's about us and I have this ministry. I've gotten to the point where, you know what, God, He can use anybody. We know this, but we need to know it. That, look, I'm just a servant of You. The real point is, do people see You through me in my life? That's the bottom line, because they don't need me. They need You. And all of us are just mirrors or conduits of God's love to each other. That's what we ought to be. When you see us, you say, people say, I see Jesus, even if they don't know what they don't maybe not say that, but there's something. What are they seeing? They're seeing the love of God. God is love. When you're in letting that love dominate you and flow through you, they're seeing God. They're looking at you and they're seeing how you act, but who they're really seeing is Him. Amen? And so He's building us. He's taking us, saying, yeah, I know where you think you're going. You just walk with me. He's the Almighty. He's the Creator. And He's patient with us. Patient. I know we've said some of these things, just kind of, going back and covering a few things so we can move forward together. But if you have children, or you've seen little children, and you see some of the things, especially, little children, they have all kinds of ideas of what they're going to do when they grow up. And it changes all the time. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna play for the Red Sox. But then another day, I'm gonna be singing. And you as a parent, they're like, you're there just to keep helping them. Yeah, okay. You just keep moving along. You just keep moving along, and they grow in stature and wisdom, and keep moving up. And we were like that with our parents, and God, who's been around forever, looks at us who have been around for a few decades, and we're saying, God, I'm going to do this, and God, I'm ready. And He's saying, you just keep going. You just keep going. And we think our children are small. He's been around, the Almighty's been around forever, and we've been around for this. There's just no comparison. We think we're 20 years down the road, and our children are going, yeah, you don't know anything yet. What must He think when we start talking? You can't even put them in the same sentence, right? There's no comparison. What we know is not even a thimble. I mean, it's just not, you could fill this whole room and we still wouldn't be a speck of dust compared to what He knows. No, He knows it all. So when He says He's building us up, we ought to just look at Him and say, whatever you want. That's wisdom. People say that's weakness in the world. Well, you need a crutch. No, buddy. You need to know that there's an Almighty. And we're just His servants, His children. And so we've talked about some of these things. And today I just want to focus on two things. I'm going to read a few scriptures, couple scriptures. Let's read these on your sheet, and then we'll go forward. 1 Corinthians 12:12 said, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." For as the body, so we're the body of Christ. When Jesus walked on this earth, He was it. He was the body of Christ. But now He's gone on, so we're the body. And it says, for as the body is one, He's talking about our body, and has many members. In other words, when you refer to your body, you're saying everything. But it has many parts, and you can name a lot of them. Your fingers and toes and hands and elbows, eyes, ears, all the different parts. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. This is the body of Christ. Whoever has believed on Him and accepted Jesus are in that body, and there's many parts. All different. Not necessarily with the same function. Let's read 1 Timothy on your sheet. It says, 1 Timothy 3:8-10 says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Deacons, leaders in the church. Leaders, people that would hold a certain position. Verse 10, but let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Notice that. Let them first be tested. You don't just throw somebody up. Well, you look good. Let's put you in this. That's not the way God does it. That's not the way we do it. We ought to do it. A couple things here, and this is what I want to focus on. In 1 Corinthians, that there are many parts to the body. I want to talk to you and emphasize being in your place and then being faithful in that place. This sums up the pretty much your walk, facets of your walk on this earth. You find what God wants you to do in that body, and then you just be faithful to do it. That sounds simple. But so many people are not doing that. They want to do somebody else's place. They see something and I want to do what you do. And then if they get in the right place, they get fidgety and want to jump out of it before they're supposed to. But you see it over and over in the Word where if people would just stay where they're supposed to be and keep going on, God will move you on. He'll do it and He'll build you. And He'll add to you. And He'll make you what you need to be, and then He'll move you to the next step. Let Him do it. And that's what I want to focus on. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, and read the rest of that passage. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as He pleased." You notice that? Let's read a little bit of that again. Verse 16. Actually, we can go back to verse 15. "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? So your hand." I mean, it's very clear. He's just giving us an analogy. Your hand. What does He say? "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body.'" Think about it for a moment. Which one do you want to lose, your foot or your hand? You have a choice. Which one do you want us to cut off? I mean, okay, you might choose one or the other, but do you really want to lose either of them? If you had a choice, I think I'd choose C. Neither. None of the above. I want to keep them all, right? Verse 16, "And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not in the body,' is it therefore not of the body? Should you want to be deaf or blind?" Well, you could try to weigh the scales, but I'd just rather have both. My sight and my hearing, right? I mean, you can look at degrees and say, well, you know, I mean, yeah. You know, I'd rather be a quadriplegic than dead, but I'd rather just have all my functions. What's He saying? You can try to split hairs and try to say somebody's more important or some member's more important, but it's really futile. Verse 18, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." Now notice that. Number one, He set the members in the body of Christ. And if you're in the right place and you've really been, you're really in the place you ought to be, God sets you there. Not a man. Now, He might use men to recognize something and to set you in a place, but you can't choose your place. You can't decide, I want to be this. God has gifted you to do something ultimately, but He's going to give you something to do today. And what you do with that will determine where you ultimately go, but you don't get to choose that. That's a big difference between how we in the body of Christ operate and how the world operates. Because there it's, what do you want to do? You set out your plan and what you think you're good at, take an inventory, whatever, and then you go after that with everything you have. That's wrong. That's basically you setting your own course. And if you're really a Christian and you've given your life and laid it down before Him and said, God, have your way, then who's your Lord? Jesus is your Lord. You're not your Lord anymore. So if He says, I want you to do X, you ought to say, yes, sir. That's the best plan. That's what I'm going to do. I can only really respond to you. I can't determine what I'm going to do. I can't determine my assignment. I can't determine my place. I'm really taking orders from you. I want to serve you. I want people to see you. I don't want them to see me. So your place is determined by Him. He said, God has set the members, each one of them, so He sets them just as He pleased. If you've been a Christian long at all, eventually you may run across questions and be looking at some situation and say, God, how about that? Why is that way? Why is that person in that position? Why do they have that call? And if it seems like your hand's upon them, why? Why not this person? You can't answer those questions. There's one that knows that, those things. And He's not us. There is one God, and I'm not Him. You're not Him. You start asking those, you know what you open the door up to? You know who you're accommodating? You're accommodating the enemy. You give the enemy a foothold. Well, why not? Why is this? Why is a lot of times, I'm not saying you shut your brain off, but when you start questioning things that really have no answer, and usually the enemy, when he pushes you that way, it's going to be with a connotation of somehow impugning God. Why? As if God did something that's unjust. Why this? It looks like it should be this. Why this? You're setting yourself up to start sliding down. There's really usually not any good outcome if you start going down that way. Why? Why this? Why that? There is one that knows, and a lot of it's not our business. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? If we'll just look to Him and say, God, that's your servant. That's not mine. I don't know, but one thing I do know is that I'm responsible for my life. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do? You almost need to just put blinders on. You ever seen the horses racing? They have these blinders on so that they won't get distracted. We need to just say, Lord, what is it that you want for me? What is it you're asking for me to do? Yeah, but so-and-so got this. Those questions can crop up in your mind. Well, what about this over here? I want to know about that. You can be distracted and off your off your race, off your course, because you're worrying about this over here. That's not what we're to worry about. We're to just look at Him and say, Lord, where are you setting me? Where am I at? Where should I be? What's my place today? And sometimes you think, well, I see myself doing this, and it seems big, it can seem grand, and you have to watch and make sure your motives are, number one, after God, and not to promote yourself. This is part of maturity as you grow. But then, even if it is something, you're saying, I see this, but I don't know how to get there, you just do what is in front of you now. Because He will always give you something to do, and it will be something you can actually take a step with what you have today. What is in your hand? What are your abilities today? How can I do, what can I serve today? And you make sure that is God setting you in that place, that it bears witness with your heart, not, well, if that's where I'm going, then that means my first step ought to be this, and you figure it out, and now you try to muscle your way into that. Don't try to do that. Because you're not trying to figure out. It's not your plan. You say, God, I believe you're calling me here, but that's what I believe. That may be 20 years, 30 years down the road. Now, what do you want me to do today? And regardless if it looks like the two are connected, step in to that. If it bears witness in your heart and you're saying, I believe I just ought to do this. I believe this is where you're leading me. Step into that. Because he knows what he's doing. You may not see how it all fits together for decades. Mrs. Hagen, you know, Pastor Hagen, Lynette Hagen, she said this many times. I've heard her. She said, you know, that when they were going through certain phases and, you know, when she was learning how to, she was putting decorations and things on small areas, like she was responsible for that. And she's like, Lord, what am I doing this for? Well, eventually she was responsible for the whole ministry doing all that and deciding where everything was. Just numerous occasions where it was like, what does this have to do? When am I ever going to use this? But as you go and you walk out your life, eventually, people that have been there say, well, I see where I use this. All the pieces start coming together as you grow older. You start saying, oh, God, you really knew what you were doing. I needed this here, and I needed this here. But if you're questioning it way back here, say, I don't see how I'm going to use this, just be patient. Movie's not over. Show's not over. If we're really following him, and he is a merciful and gracious and patient God, he doesn't have it that if you blow it the first time, you don't get on the path or you get off the path for a while, that's it. Thank God that's not it. He knows. He looks at your heart. And if you go over here, he's still saying, no, 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 you don't want to go over there. And if you check inside, you'll know it too. Our problem is sometimes we're stubborn and we want to see and we're saying, but I don't get it. I don't understand. So I'm just going to go over here. Don't ever let your lack of understanding push you somewhere where God's not taking you. You learn to decide inside. You learn to follow the Holy Spirit. And I don't care if your flesh just jumps up and down for something. If it's not bearing witness with your spirit, you don't go that way because it will end in destruction. I'm not saying you're going to just completely die. Just levels of destruction. You know, I know none of you have ever done this, but me, I know over the years there have been things that I wanted to buy, whether it was a tool, whether it was a, you know, piece of technology or something. And, you know, it wasn't that. It was something that maybe I didn't need, maybe I didn't need, maybe I wanted. But as I was searching for something, there were things that I was in the store and I really wanted to pull the trigger and there's nothing settling on the inside. I just felt like it's not time to get it. And it went, over the years, it went from anywhere after I'd walked it out to where I shouldn't get that thing at all to where that was just the wrong one. But I learned. And today, I don't override that. I can't remember the last time I did override it in buying something because I had enough painful experiences to some degree or another where I wanted something. I thought, yeah, but I don't see anything else. But I didn't have a settling. I'm talking about being in Walmart or being at the mall. I mean, very practical. Shirt, you know, piece of equipment, something. Just looking at it going, just doesn't settle. Just doesn't settle with me. I want it. It's front of me. It looks like it's an okay price, but it just doesn't settle. And in times I would say, I'm going to buy it anyway. And inevitably the thing would break or it'd be the wrong one. Or a week later I saw what I should have gotten or I shouldn't have got it all together. Some degree it was wrong. And I knew and I learned over time to follow that piece. If you don't have peace, don't pull the trigger. Just don't pull it. Don't do it. I don't care if it's buying something in a store or moving halfway across the world. If you're not settled, don't pull the trigger, period. Because there's some reason you're not settled. If it's just that your mind has to catch up or it's something in your personality, that's okay. A week later, you might say, oh, that was just, I was afraid. Well, and it really wasn't my heart, it was my head. Well, time will show that. You'll ferret out what's your mind and your heart. Don't say this. Don't say, well, that's just me. I need to get over it and just move on. Don't do that. Has anybody ever done that and regretted it? You moved on. You pushed past. Yeah. This goes from anywhere, I mean, to who you're going to marry. Don't ever push past that. You few people that aren't married, don't ever. The bigger the decision is, the longer you make sure it's God. You're talking about buying a house. You're talking about moving in a significant way. You're talking about taking another job. You just settle to where you know this is it. The person that you're going to marry and spend the rest of your life with, there's not many two higher decisions than that. Lord Jesus, making him the Lord of your life, marriage is about number two. That will affect every facet of your life for decades. But anything in between, we ought to just say, you see, this is where you just got to put your flesh aside, your understanding aside, and you're practicing when you're buying something. You're practicing when you're going through these seemingly mundane things. Practice. Follow peace. See how you feel inside. And then, yeah, I really don't feel like I should do it. And then walk out. If you feel like you're not supposed to do something, you do it anyway, make a note of that. And when you watch that it didn't work out, make a note of how you felt so you can go back and say, I'm not going to do that again. Right. And it's practice. Brother Hagin always used to say, you didn't learn, you know, when you're learning how to drive, you maybe drove up on the curb a few times. That's just part of it. When you learn how to ride a bike, you didn't necessarily just get up and go. You might have. You're the exception. Most people fall down. Why is falling? But we come to spiritual things and we think we have to be perfect. Why is that? We're still human. We still don't know anything compared to him. You're going to learn how to follow the Spirit of God. And that's why you're going to learn little by little. You're being grown little by little. And like I was saying, he's a merciful God. So when you do make a mistake, go, oh no, I can't believe I missed it in this area. I'm just unfit. That's just, on one end, that's just pride. You need to get over yourself. We need to get over ourselves. Because it's not, God hasn't fallen off the throne. He's still there. He's like, yeah, Jim, well, yeah, and there's like 350 million trillion people. Not trillion, but there's all these people that have done it before you. You're not the first. Get up and move on and chalk it up as experience. You'll learn something. It's okay. Don't do that again. But if you do, it's just going to reinforce the fact that, yeah, I really don't want to do that. And I do it again. Yeah, I'm sure this time that is not the way to go. But has anybody ever gone back to the same thing more than once? I just want to make sure it's, I mean, I know the last 15 times it was wrong, but I think there's a sliver this might be it this time. We're all the same. We're all human. That's why we're sharing the Word of God, not our experience, because our experience to build doctrine, we build our experience that's in line with the Word. You don't build your doctrine on experience, because we do the same dumb stuff. We don't want to do it. I'm not saying we should do it, but the fact is we will miss it. That's okay. That's not a bad confession. If you think you're walking everything out perfect from here on out, we need to pray for you. Because you're going to be awakened one of these days. And it's not going to be pretty if you really think you're there. But he is faithful, and he's good, and he will work with us. Which brings us to the next thing. If we will follow where he has placed us and put us, now we need to stick there. And do what he told us to do and stay on it, even when you don't see the change, or even when you don't see how it's different, and even though you don't see how it's fitting together, you need to stay there and just calm ourselves down and say, God told me to be here, I'm here. Well, it sure don't look like anything. God told me to be here. Because at the beginning of things, you might say, oh yeah, that looks good, and you have it all pictured in your mind. When God's asking me to do this, that means this and this and this are going to happen, and this door is going to open, and this is going to happen, and boy, it's going to be great. Watch this. And now when you start walking it out, and those things that you had in your mind don't happen, this is a test. This is when you are going to be tested to see, are you really following God? Or are you following something you still have an idea of how you think it's going to come down? And when it doesn't come down the way you think it's going to come down, are you still going to stick and follow him? This is a real test. You remember Peter? When Jesus, they came and took Jesus. Peter's you know, who knows? These guys' ideas of what the Messiah is going to be, they didn't know that he wasn't going to set up kingdom right then. So when they see Jesus being captured, I mean, Peter, he's ready. He said, remember in the garden? Before that, when they were Last Supper, Jesus told him, "You're going to betray me." And he said, "I won't betray you. I'm not going to do it." Jesus, the Lord, is telling you, "You're going to betray me." Your response ought to be like, "Can I avoid it? How can I do this?" Not, "You're wrong." No, I'm going to stick with you. They all might be, you know, gone, but I'm here, buddy. Well, it looked like he meant it, right? Because when the soldiers came, Peter's there with the sword, and he's going after it. Fisherman, he's going out with trained soldiers. He's ready to rumble. But then when Jesus says, "Put it away," you know, heals the man that he cut his ear off. I don't think he was aiming for his ear, do you? I think he was going for the jugular. He's a fisherman, though, so, you know, he missed him. But when it came down like that, what does Peter do? I said I'm going to be with you. They take Jesus away. This wasn't in the game plan. This is not the way I saw it coming down. This isn't what I thought was going to happen. Well, how did he act? I don't know the guy. I don't know him. And he did deny him several times. But Peter eventually came around. Jesus restored him. But in our life, when we start out saying, "God, I'll do it. Yeah, you're calling me to do that, and this is the next step, and I'm ready. I am the most faithful one. Watch this. I'm stepping into this. You can count on me. I'm going to be there. Oh, I'm there. I'm there all the time. I'm there early. You watch. I'm the best one you've ever had at the beginning." This is how we have a tendency to think. I'm there. But after week and week and week, and you say, "Well, this is just boring. I mean, this is just mundane. I don't know if I really like doing this." You're looking around. You're tempted to quit. Say, "Well, this isn't what I thought it was. I think God's calling me over here. This is a test. Whether we're going to be faithful where God put us and just keeping on one step at a time in this area." And there will always, I've lived long enough to see this in my own life over and over. You step into something, and that's kind of like the honeymoon stage. You think everything, "Oh yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be different." Even if you know and you've been around, it's like you're walking through and you think there are not going to be any challenges or problems or temptations. And then eventually it comes to where it doesn't look like what you thought was going to happen is going to happen, and there's a push. And many times, you can let that get to you to where it's like, "What? I don't see it." But the thing to do there, you're tempted to run. You're tempted to fly. You're tempted to say, "God, I missed it." You may not say, "God missed it." You say, "I missed it. I didn't hear. This isn't right." You're going to be tempted. Just chalk it up. You will be at that point where it does not look like what you thought. There is the test. The most basic thing is don't quit.
That's right.
My pastor in Lincoln used to say, you know, they tell each other, him and his wife, you know, "We can throw the towel in as many times as we want, just as long as we pick it up the next day and go on."
Right.
Now, I don't think we should. I'm not advocating you go down this path that, "Oh my gosh, I just don't know why this is happening," and go down and throw the towel in and then go, "Oh, I'm not really serious, get up." That's not productive. Okay, but the bottom line is, sometimes it's not pretty how things get done behind the scenes. You ever heard the term, "This is how the sausage gets made"? I've still never watched a video on that, and I'm not going to because I like sausage. I don't want to ruin the experience. People have told me, "I don't want to see it, thank you, I like it." Summer sausage and a cracker with cheese. I like that, okay? Down around the holidays, it's good. I don't want to see how it gets me. I don't want... Shelly used to work at a certain fast food restaurant, and she would see things. I said, "Don't tell me about it. I happen to like eating their food. I don't want to know." But this is a phrase to describe if you knew how certain things got done behind the scenes and where certain people that you're even looking at today say, "Oh, they never make a mistake." You'd be surprised at where they were at different places. And when you think, if you have it in your head that You know, you just start, you go, as long, if you're following God, there's not going to be anything. You just walk above, you know, flowery beds of Eden, nothing ever happening, just I rebuke you, and I'm, you know, just over everything. Then when stuff starts happening in your life, you're going to fall apart because you're going to say, this is not supposed to happen. I don't care if it's your first rodeo volunteering somewhere. When it gets to where you're actually tempted to get in strife with the person you're working with, or you don't feel like going on a Sunday or something, you're going to go, this isn't supposed to happen, this is church. Nonsense. This is life. This is what happens. This, you're being tested to see, are you going to stay with God when it doesn't look like you should? And it's not my experience, but it backs up with the Word of God, you're going to be tested. And if you'll push through that, you will get to the other side. If you don't quit and stay on course, you will get through that. God will put you to the next level. I've seen that over and over where it looks like there's no way this is going to happen. How these pieces, and you get squeezed. And if you just stay with God, shut your mind off, say God is faithful, He is merciful. So what if it all blows apart? He's going to still be there and He still loves me and we'll pick up the pieces. If you can get there, cast the care over on Him, you're indestructible. Because you just said, no, I'm staying, I'm faithful, I don't care. And then all of a sudden it changes. See, told you so. See, told you so. Now that's easier said than done. And when the fire's turned up and your feet's under the fire and you're feeling the pressure, I'm not saying that's easy, but that's when we need to stay with the Word and what He told us and just stay faithful and say, I don't care what the test is, God's Word's still true and He's still faithful to me and He's good. He's a good God and He's loving. And this isn't the first time that somebody's been tried like this and He's still with me and I'm not super special. You know, I'm not more important than other people and the world isn't going to fall apart in this condition and it's okay and God, you're still good and I love you and I think I'm just going to rest here. Amen? I'm just going to rest right now. You're an idiot for resting. Why don't you do something about it? I am doing something about it. I'm resting. Amen? I'm going to rest. I'm going to stay. And so when you're being tested and you don't run and you don't flinch and you stick there, you don't quit. I just heard Bob Yandian say it. I've heard many people say it that are further down. You know, somebody asked him a question about doing stuff in ministry. He said, well, piece of advice, just don't quit. Just don't quit. I don't care how ugly it gets, and you think, well, I've blown it so many times. I mean, this looks horrible. I mean, I've thrown in the towel, I've picked it up, I've thrown in the towel, and I just don't feel worthy anymore. We need to get over it. We're not the Savior, He is. And so if we pick up, well, I just don't feel like I can go on. It's not supposed to look like this. Again, you don't want to know how the sausage gets made sometimes. Don't worry about it. You're not different. You are a human. Just get up and say, I'm going on with you, Lord. That's why I have a Savior. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Then you begin to look at other people with a little bit more empathy. You say, oh, you're doing something weird, but you know, I just did this over here. So I can have empathy with you and have mercy on you. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about growing together, being built together. It is walking with us. We're all humans. And if God puts us in a position, it doesn't mean we're the Savior and I'm going to go and I'm going to do this and God's going to move like He never has before. Probably not. We're all replaceable. No, God is going to use you to the degree that you allow Him to be used, and if you'll just stick and go with His plan, you're going to be advanced over time. That's the truth. We are all just human. We're all just people. God is on the throne. Jesus is the head of the church. We want people to see Jesus through us, and so the more we can just say, yeah, I'm just going to stay here. God, I believe this is where You want me. I'm just sticking. I'm not going to move because it gets tough. I'm not going to move because it doesn't line up with what I believe it should, because none of those are the Holy Spirit. People say, well, if it gets this hard, I'm out of it. Is that the leading of the Holy Spirit? No. You don't. That's being led by circumstances, right? No, we just need to get in there and say, no. Until the Spirit of God leads me out, I'm staying. I'm staying right here, and I'm going forward. When we talk about being built, this is how it gets done. If we'll each take our place and just say, God, this is what you want me to do. Lord, I'm going on with you, and I'm staying here. And we all do that, and we all love each other, and we all stay in that path, then we all grow up. We all move up. The body of Christ gets stronger, knit together. We're in our place. We don't get scared out of our place. We stick there, and we grow stronger, and we have experiences. And this, when it talks about being tested and going through, let's read this scripture. I believe we're closing. Let's look at Matthew. We read this, but let's go over there. Matthew 25, let's just go on your sheet for the sake of time. So you're familiar with the story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Don't worry about somebody else's ability. Just be concerned with what God has tasked you with. Well, that guy looks like he's so much more talented. It's none of our business. Just say, if we feel like, well, I'm just 2 talents. Well, the show's not over. We're going to be multiplied if we stick with him. I don't know where I stopped. And to him, okay, he called his own servants and delivered his good to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. Verse 20, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful. What does faithful mean? You show up. Doesn't mean you were really flashy while you're doing it. It means you showed up. In good times and bad times, you just did the job. You did what you needed to do. And I'm not advocating, well, you just fall apart all the time and you just barely eke by. No, the more we just trust him, the more we'll show up and we'll do it with a smile and we'll enjoy life. I show up, I'm not just talking about to a certain point, a certain place. I'm saying you show up for life during a given day. You show up and you're ready to go. Versus, it's morning again. I don't want to face it. Well, we've all been there. But the more we go on with him, if we'll show up, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Many people want to be the ruler over many things, but they won't want to be faithful over just a few. We want to jump. We all want to jump. But God doesn't just promote you without being tested. It would be unfair to you. When you get the more pressure over you, you're going to just fall apart if you haven't been tested and tried. It's the same with all of us. And let me just say this. A very big problem that we have in this society, the way it is now, is that people who have not been tried and tested in life, because of the way things are, it's been like this for a while, but more so lately, in the areas of, you know, music, in the areas of sports, in the areas of now technology. You have 26-year-old billionaires that haven't done much in life, but they're heads of companies. But their character has not been tried. They haven't lived that long. And because of that, young people look and say, I know more about technology. I don't need to know anything. I'm smarter. I'm better. And it puts this arrogance in young people, and it sets them up to think, I don't have to be tried like anybody else. I don't have to do it. And then when they collapse hugely, they might be able to make money, but where's the rest of their life? But everybody thinks, I can do it too. I can do it too. See, the young, there's nothing wrong with youth. We've all been young, but there's a wisdom that comes with being tried. It's not just our abilities and talents. It's the same in any area. People think they're going to go to the ministry and they're the best preacher or whatever, ever. That's not all it takes. Right. Right. You have to live life. We've seen blow-ups. People got to a certain place, and the whole world saw them crash. And I'm not throwing stones. We don't want to end up like that. So if we can, you know, we got to just walk with God. He won't be promoting us past where we can be promote where we can handle. It says, enter it, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter in the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Notice, if they just did what they were supposed to do and were faithful in the slot that God put them, God promoted them, God told them, good job, you did what you were supposed to do, go on, enter into the joy of your Lord. He did not say, well, but you really, do you notice he didn't say to the guy with 2 talents, well, you know, good job, but you really didn't do as well as this guy. He did not say that. He said, you did what you were supposed to do, good job. That's all we're accountable for is what he asks us to do and to be faithful there. Step by step, but just one step at a time. We aren't the golden child. Jesus is. We aren't the one that nobody's ever seen before. That was Jesus. He is. He's the Savior. He doesn't need all our talents to do His work. He's going to equip us to do what He needs get done, but He's going to tell us what to do, how to do it, and our job is to show up whether we feel like it, in good times and bad times, and let Him be the promoter. Right. Bottom, if we will do that, we'll just march through life. One step, next step, getting stronger, more seasoned, more just enjoying life, just walking along. This is good, and it just keeps getting better. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.